Welcome back, my friends. Chef and a Fat Man live from La Corte on Green. We have some lovely people in the audience today as we're celebrating Valentine's Day. And like I said, we're going to have a little trivia a little bit later on, but people started drooling all over themselves when you said the recipe. Now, you've got the crab cakes actually in the fridge right now as we speak.
Chilling.
Just chilling.
So, while we're waiting for it to chill and you're getting ready to cook it, why don't you do, who ever heard of coconut rice?
So this young lady who came to visit us said instead of making regular rice, you should use coconut. And so we didn't have coconut milk, so we actually grated coconut. She showed me how to do it. So she just grated coconut, soaked it in water for about an hour, and then she kind of wrung it out, and that became the coconut milk along with what the juice that was in the coconut. Today I use coconut milk from the can. It was nice and creamy and wonderful. But because the coconut milk that we made there was more watery, I used about 3/4 cup of coconut cream, and then I added water for a quarter cup. And I cooked that with some onion and some rice and let it cook for about 15 minutes. It's very simple, very delicious. Added a little bit of salt and pepper and then a little secret ingredient from my friend Karen who told me to add a dash of cinnamon, and it really brought out the pop in the coconut. So we're going to serve that with the crab cakes.
Well, I'll tell you what, that sounds exciting. Now, if you're wondering, let's say you're driving down the highways and byways of life and you don't have a pen in front of you, fear not, my friends, because all these recipes are available. And you will get to see what they look like, courtesy of Chef and the Fat Man. Go to chefandthefatman.com. You'll be able to get these recipes. Some of them will go into more length than others. But these crab cakes are absolutely incredible. Of course, nothing says Valentine's Day like crab cakes.
That's right.
One of those things. And
it's
Crab cakes are something that I always order if they're on a menu. Mm. Even if I'm getting a steak, I'll add a crab cake to the side. You can't resist a good crab cake.
But, you know, you've got to make sure that you have more crab
than binder.
Than filler, exactly.
Oh, my God. There's nothing worse than paying $25 for a crab cake where you get 3 ounces, maybe 3.5 of crab.
Absolutely.
And about 6 pounds of bread, cracker, mayonnaise. Not that I don't like all those things, but I don't like paying for it. But it's quite an adventure. And I will give you my story. When we first got our little place, very humble camp down in Mexico Beach, Florida, they said, hey, it's crab season. I'm like, okay. I'm from Chicago. That means you go to the store, you buy crab cheaper than you do other times of the year. They said, no, you go out, here's how you do it. So you got a scoop net, and you can either, on low tide, you can go out and scoop them in the shallows. Well, it just so happened I'm walking the beach one morning, and I see all these blue crabs about 2 or 3 feet off, you know, off the bank in about 2 or 3 feet of water. So I'm like, why should I wait for the shallows? I'll just grab my net. Two things you learn about a crab very quickly. A, they can bury themselves in 3 seconds in the sand, and you totally lose where they are. And number two, they're extraordinarily fast, and they sense where that net's coming. But So I'm out there, and about this time, it's about 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. You know, it's about 70, 80 degrees. Water temperature's about the same. I'm out there in my shorts. I've gotten the people to quit pushing me off the beach so I could breathe, you know, so they don't let me wear a swimsuit down there.
Aww.
But anyway, so I'm out there with my net, and it's a long pole with a hoop net on the bottom. So I'm getting like this, and all of a sudden I saw one. I go, good size one. So I reach down, and I go to get him, and he shoots right between my legs. But that's okay because he stopped right there, and I said, oh, great. So I leaned over like this and scooped down, and I had my back to the wave.
Oh, and off you went.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
I did a header
into
3 foot of water, and everybody on the beach is watching this.
Oh.
So what do? You get up and act cool. You get up and you...
Did you get
That was refreshing.
Did you get your nose pinched?
I got the crab.
There you go.
I got the crab. So he may have got me wet, but I made him a meal. All right, so now your crab cakes have come out of the fridge. They are chilled.
I'm cooking one up just to see how we do. It's looking pretty good so far.
Now, that's a great tip. When you're doing pan frying or any kind of frying at all, always take a little something and test it. Because you never know if the temperature's right.
Absolutely. And you you also, you know, if you're cooking in batches for people, you know, here at the Culinary Center, we do a lot of events that are corporate events. We do a lot of classes and stuff. And we're in here teaching, and the eggs are outside. And sometimes we've got things that people haven't done before. So we make sure that we always, number one, we like to eat, so we want to sample it. But number two, we want to see, you know, how it works out so that, we can say to the people that are helping us, okay, now do it like this. You know, do this many more. So far, this is
looking
pretty
good. Plus,
it
gives you a good idea of time.
Yeah.
You know, because you say medium heat. What does that mean on a pan or a skillet? It could be 200, 225. It really, really varies. So what you want to do is you want to get the temperature that's right for you. And so to find out, especially when you're doing something like pan work, always just take a little. I always take, like, my hamburger, my sausage. I always take a little bit and test it first and see if I've got the temperature right. Of course, if you have the Big Green Egg, the ultimate
cooking experience.
Yes, if you have that, then what you can do is you can cook a patty. But I found that once you have an egg, you don't worry about it. You know. You know by the thickness. You know by the temperature. You know it's going to stay that way. You just know how much time it's going to take. Putting a thermometer in is almost irrelevant because you can look and say, okay, I like to get those cowboy pork chops or the Ooh. Cowboy cut pork chops that are about that thick at Sam's Club. I know it's 7 minutes aside at 350 to 375 degrees. And if I temp it, it's going to come out at 150 every time. That's the beauty about the Big Green Egg because it's so consistent.
Yeah. And it's very forgiving. You know, if you end up doing something and you get distracted or whatever, the Big
Green
Egg
Have you ever burned anything on the Big Green Egg?
Not really. It's kind of hard to do. Unless you're really not paying attention.
You know what? I was not paying attention the other day. I was trying to do too many things while entertaining. And for the first time in a few years, I burnt something.
I have never burnt anything on the egg. Now, I used to, on my old grills, chicken wings were a disaster. Chicken breasts, my favorite chicken thighs, absolute nightmare. Unless you're standing over it with a squirt bottle. And how you could tell is you'd listen for the flames to be, you listen to your meat burning, then you lift the lid, squirt it down, drop the lid, wait, there it is, flaming again. With the Big Green Egg, I set it at 350, 375, 10 minutes on each side, go in. By the time it takes me approximately 16 seconds to take the beer out of the fridge and pop the top, 8 minutes aside, 7, 8 minutes aside, sometimes I go as much as 9. That's it. Done.
No,
perfect.
It's not quite.
And I never worry about it. So,
oh yeah,
we have the crab cake. It looks like you got the temperature just right.
Yep.
You want a golden sear. You want a golden sear on it. You don't want a char.
Correct. And so it's served over the coconut rice, which I'm just plating right now. And the coconut rice looks really nice. It's short grain rice. It's not too sticky, but it's also not too dry. Make sure you rinse your rice first. I rinse it a couple of times.
Take the starch out.
Mm-hmm. And then. I like a sauce, so we had an abundance of red peppers where I was, and so I just cooked up some onion, and of course the Vidalia onion, which I didn't have there, but I do like the sweet onion. I think it's perfect for this, so I used some Vidalia onion, and I roasted some red peppers on the Big Green Egg at like 450 degrees. I put a little bit of oil on the peppers first, and then I put them on the egg and let them blister, and then when they came off of the egg, when they were nice and dark, then I put them in a paper bag and let them kind of cool for about 10 minutes. So while they're cooling, I'm cutting up my onion and I'm sautéing it. Then I seeded and diced the pepper and added that to it. Then I added cream. Let that cream reduce until it's almost nothing, and then stick it in the blender, or Vitamix is what we used, and it makes a nice, wonderful sauce. And make it early so that, because as the hours go by, the color develops, the flavor develops, and it's fantastic as an accompaniment to this dish.
Nice. Now, are you going to drizzle on top or on the side?
Put it right there.
Oh, look at that. I'm telling you, my friends, this is the time where we've been mandated by Big Green Egg to do this disclaimer. We're not responsible for your dry cleaning bills nor your laundry bills, because when you listen to this show, you're going to be drooling all over yourself, and we just can't afford to pay everybody's dry cleaning bills.
Just gotta know that it's okay.
That's a beautiful thing. And, of course, if you happen to be a member of the audience, guess what? You get to sample all these wonderful things that are made here. And speaking about making something, now that we've got our West African land crab, I guess we'll call it West African land crab cake.
Woohoo!
what goes better than that with sweets? And so we turn to the sweets of the sweet. It is our own Taylor Shulman. Taylor, what are you? Got some, my, you have impressive berries.
Thank you. So.
They look like Sherry's berries. They're almost, I don't know what you were thinking.
I'm moving along from
that. Who I work with.
So, Valentine's Day is my mother's favorite holiday aside from Thanksgiving. I mean, we would come down in the morning. The whole kitchen was decorated. We had little chocolate boxes.
Aww.
We had heart-shaped pancakes. We had flowers. I mean, she goes all out for Valentine's Day. It is a serious event in our home. Wow. And these strawberries are a variation of something that my mother makes. So it is a mascarpone cheese, and if you are lucky enough to have a big green egg, you can cold smoke it.
Wow.
And it'll add some nice, nice flavor.
And how would you do that? How would you cold smoke it?
So when we cold smoke, we empty out the egg completely. So we take all of the charcoal out of our firebox, and then we add in some little pieces of coal that might have been on the bottom at that grate that have been going for, you know, quite a few cooks. You don't want big pieces because it's going to be too much fuel for that fire and it's going to burn too hot. To be really cold smoking, we want to be around under 90 degrees. My favorite temperature for it is about 60, so nothing will melt. When you're working with something that is delicate, like a mascarpone or a brie, it's really, really important to keep an eye on the temperature. I also don't go very long with things like brie or mascarpone or ice cream because they're going to take on more of a smoky flavor. And, you know, you don't want to bite into it and go, ooh, I just licked the inside of a smoker.
Yes.
You want that very nice hint of smoke. You know, you want a kiss, not a hug. is something that I
keeping
heard.
In a Valentine's theme.
Yeah,
of course.
Exactly. So we put in about 2 cups of those little pieces and some wood chunks. Now, if you're going to go for the wood, pick a light wood like cherry or apple, or even if you can get an orange wood or something like that, that's also very nice. You do not want to use hickory. That would overpower everything.
Or mesquite.
Or mesquite, yes. Avoid Ooh. Those heavy woods. So light fruit wood, not even cedar with this. I prefer apple wood. That's my go-to. Now, so we'll put about a cup of that with 2 cups of those wood chunks, and I kind of toss them together, and I make a little pile right in the middle. I put a big green egg starter cube, and then I light it. And I let it ignite about 50% of those little bitty coals. And then I put my convector in, a grid, and I'll take a big mixing bowl, and I'll fill it with ice. And then I'll put a smaller mixing bowl inside with my cheese. This is going to keep down the temperature around that cheese. And if you have ice cream salt, add some ice cream salt into the ice, and it's going to keep it solid longer. Because, you know, you want to make sure the bowl's also not too heavy. So if it does start to melt, it's not going to sink and get covered in water. And I let it go for about 30 minutes like that. And then I pull it off. I let it cool again in the refrigerator. And I'm ready to stuff it in the strawberries.
I'll tell you what information you get. One place and one place only, my friends. Chef and a Fat Man and Blue Collar Chefs. Today, we are live at Le Cordon Green. We are celebrating Valentine's Day. What better way to do it than with West African land crabs and strawberries dipped in chocolate with mascarpone and a molten lava cake? I'm telling you, it's all about food. It's all about fun. It's all about a celebration of the good life. Oh, my friends, where better to celebrate the good life than at the Big Green Egg,
the ultimate cooking experience.